This podcast and following message are brought to you by The Sharing. Discover what it's like to be part of something larger than yourself, something big, something important. Located in sunny Santa Barbara, The Sharing is committed to family, virtue, righteousness, and brotherhood and sisterhood. Join now as a member of The Outer Sharing for the chance to become one of the special chosen few, a full member of The Inner Sharing. The Sharing. You will be a part. You will be different.
All right.
Time to get spoiled.
We've made it to the spoiler zone.
Do you have anything you want to say about the passage in the context of the entire series?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I didn't have anything prepared for this. Did you? Did you have anything to say?
I guess this is not like directly related to our close reading, but Cassie later talks about the nightmares that she has.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of reminded me about the nightmares that she has in this book and will continue to have for the entirety of the series. Some about ants, some about termites, some about other things. And this is definitely a nightmare sequence, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like Cassie has more of those nightmare reactions than the other characters? Because I, when I was reading for this for the first time, definitely felt like it was similar.
I think it's similar. I think everyone has the same amount of nightmares, which is
a large
very
amount.
Often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different things that they have nightmares about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of.
Yeah.
And I guess the nightmares that they have sort of point at the, you know, the issues that each animorph is concerned about.
This whole theme of, like, mother-child relationships is so interesting, too. Like, you know, Cassie's killing her mother in the termite sequence, but she also, even in this book, which was earlier than I thought, she had a little bit of a comment about, like, how she feels bad that she has to lie to her parents about mm-hmm. all the stuff that she's doing, and she wishes she could just tell them. And I was like, oh, that's kind of early to be thinking about this, because I, you know, obviously...
She does just
later. She does
eventually.
Very far in the future, but so I was just thinking about how Cassie has a pretty good relationship with her parents.
Yeah. And continues to have a pretty good relationship with her parents. Sort of after the completion of the Animorphs.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well. Yeah. I mean, they all. Except for Rachel and Tobias, do get reunited with their parents.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, separate even from, like, whether the parents are infested or whatever, I think, like me, Cassie seems like she has kind of a soft spot for the parent-child relationship dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that she was kind of hit particularly hard by the... You know, mother skunk wanting to care for her babies, like mother termite. She has her relationship with her dad. And yeah, so I think that's part of the specific source of the anguish for her here.
Mm-hmm.
This is outside of the passage, I guess, but
yeah,
related. Did you want to talk about other thoughts about this book?
I guess it's interesting, having read the whole series, to see, I guess, to trace more closely the evolution of the thought about the Yerkes.
Yeah.
Like, they're very clearly cartoonishly bad guys in book one. Here, we're sort of starting to wonder, like, you know, are maybe they're not evil, maybe they're just predators. And then,
well, except the only thing about that is Cassie is wondering that.
Right, right.
Everybody
exactly.
else, like, everybody else, including you as the reader, are like, Cassie, stop
yeah,
it.
You're like, are they just predators or are they the bad guys? And you're like, no, they're the bad guys.
They're definitely yeah, the bad okay. guys, Cassie. Yeah, even knowing what I know about the rest of the series, I'm like, Cassie, oh my God, get off your high horse yeah. for a second. But it's funny because in retrospect,
yeah,
Cassie is onto something.
By the end of the series, the Yerkes are fully humanized. And I think a big part of that is getting their perspective, which will come in another Cassie book, book number 19.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that, like, Cassie is often written off as being too emotional, too, like, touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean written off, like, in the books. I just mean among the fan community. It's like Cassie is kind of, is probably not the favorite.
Yeah, I think she's probably the most, or one of the most common least favorite Animorphs.
Yeah, but in rereading this book, you see that she actually is, like, I think it's a very strong, like, virtue that she is able to step back and be like, wait a second, what, like, we are being human-centric by assuming that like, we are the good guys, and should we be, like, what is making us think that, and why do we think that? And that's very, she's very ahead of her time.
Ahead of her time.
In terms of the books.
Well, I think she is, yeah, I think she is, like, ahead of her time. Or she's, like, mature, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
She has a good relationship with her parents, for one.
Yeah. Yeah, and we even see, like, at the end of the series, she is well-adjusted.
Yeah,
she's the
exactly.
only well-adjusted one. So
Marco's
I think that,
doing all right, but, yeah, she's
yeah, Marco not. Is, that's true. But she's very balanced, and I think that her sort of emotional intelligence, or, like, emotional strength is a strength, and it's easy to kind of write it off as you're reading through the series for the first time, but it's more apparent to me now.
Right. No, that's really cool, and you know. Oh, Cassie's last name. This is something I hadn't noticed before, but in the part where she's like,
I can't tell you
my last name. She's like, it's a nice one.
Yeah, I know.
I was like,
yeah.
Well, what is it? Because we only learned.
Like, why would you tell us that?
Yeah, we only learned Jake and Rachel's last name.
Berenson.
Yeah, I don't think we learned Cassie's last name.
I don't
They're definitely. There's probably, like, a fan, or, like, a canonical fan given last name. I don't know. Hopefully someone will email us with the.
And do you think, have we talked about this before? Do you think she is specifically named Cassie after Cassandra?
Cassandra.
So Cassandra is from the, like, Trojan War era. She's, like, in Greek mythology. And she would have these visions of the future.
Whoa.
But she was cursed to have nobody believe her ever.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
I can't believe you didn't know that. That's
I did not know that.
So I guess maybe
that's
we haven't.
Blowing my mind right now.
I guess we haven't talked about this before. So she was a priestess, but she, like, I think she made a god mad.
It happens.
Yeah, so Apollo gave her the gift of seeing the future, but then she sort of, like, made him mad, and so he cursed her to never be believed by anyone. And so she actually, like, foresaw one of the major, like, massacres of the Trojan War, but no one believed her, and so then it came to pass. But anyway, I've always thought that it's interesting that Cassie is named Cassie, because it's not a common
name. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm also curious, like, why is Tobias named Tobias? Yeah, Jake, Rachel, I mean, even Marco is relatively common, but then Tobias and Cassie are not.
Right.
So I've always wondered, like, is Cassie supposed to be a Cassandra reference? Because just because if I see someone named Cassandra, I'm like, oh my gosh.
They must have the gift of prophecy.
There's one very specific Cassandra, anyway.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, honestly, if I saw someone named Cassie, I'd be like, oh, you're named after
the Animorphs
young
character.
Adult sci-fi book series, Animorphs. That makes
fair.
Sense.
That's fair. I mean, the other thing is, like, knowing about this Cassandra, the Greek mythology Cassandra, who would name their child Cassandra, knowing about that?
Maybe someone
tragic.
Who knew that their child would have to get the prophecy.
Yeah.
And just wanted an apt name.
Yeah, but doesn't that make you think about, like, Cassie in the series?
Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah. It makes me, so the gift of prophecy makes me think of like the Hork-Bajir seers, you know, who we'll get into, I guess, later. But, you know, I think a seer is another term for that. So that's interesting.
I've always thought of it as like, because I love Cassie and we know that she does have this gift of
like
connecting.
Peculiar.
Yeah, it's almost like sight, I guess, but
well, yeah, it's like in tune
morphing
the universe.
Yeah. And ironically, she also does get written off by the fans.
Right.
So, but obviously that's less deliberate.
I think it's part of the whole, I don't know, I don't want to get too gendered. But
There definitely
obviously
some gender roles here too.
Like, sort of like Skyler in Breaking Bad.
Well, tell the fans about her.
Okay, she's Walter White, the main character's wife, and she is sort of hated, but she, at the end of the day, is just like a mother trying to do normal things.
Yeah,
but that's, people want to see the cool stuff.
Right.
People want to see people get blown up and not necessarily like, I don't know, not necessarily the skunk saving.
Right. Like, come on, seriously?
Like, it's a skunk.
Like, I just want to skip through the skunk saving scene so I can get to the awesome battles or whatever might be with some people. I do wonder, like, if the Animorphs fan base is mostly male.
I have no idea. It'd be so hard to, any poll that you did, it'd be hopelessly skewed by the user base.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because I do sometimes think about, we've had this conversation about the Animorphs, but like Rachel is this like idealized girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's the one that gets the good grades and is really pretty and is really cool and popular and stuff. And then Cassie is like then there's me. But I guess you also see that in Jake.
Well, I think they all have their own stereotypified roles, but then they all struggle with them.
Right.
Like Cassie in this book is like, I'm supposed to be the do-gooder, yet I was the one who killed the termite. Rachel always struggles with being brave, like she did in book 7. But in this book, she is really brave. They're all very brave in this book, though.
Yeah.
Rachel is sometimes leading the charge.
Yeah, well, and Rachel is caring.
Yeah.
In a way that we don't normally see her.
Yeah. See if I need another notes. I guess, where do you stand on the kill or be killed versus all life is sacred?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think, and I guess, where do you think now the Animorphs stand, or Cassie stands, I guess? I think it's fairly clear where the other Animorphs stand. Or it's, I guess, not as explicitly convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard because the, like, kill or be killed stance is without value judgment. It's just, like, that whole belief system is just saying, you know, this is the way the world works.
Or be killed.
And I think that is true. But the concept of all life being sacred, as you just put it, or like, I guess, really considering the way you interact with other species in a way that like values their life, even if it has no effect on yours. I think operating on the assumption that like it is morally good to preserve life is interesting to me. Because I don't know why we have that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think the only reason I can think of, I was sort of thinking about this while I was reading, is that humans have a very large social network compared to like relative to other species. And there are other species that have large social networks too. And so it might just be a byproduct of,
especially with Facebook, am I right?
Sorry. Kids these days. So it might be a byproduct of our capacity to feel connected to all humans, basically. Like we have a connection to
human
species. Yeah. And I think, and so maybe we, because we, I think we have evolved to have social connections that are very large. But maybe our all life is sacred mindset is a kind of side effect of that. And so having said that, I really don't think there's any, you know, people can have whatever moral, ethical beliefs they want, but it doesn't, like, it still feels human-centric to focus on life in general as something to be saved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because no other species would care about that.
Right. I guess this is sort of comparing to, like, the book about the cows, where cows do not have free will, but humans have free will. I think it's number 28, the experiment.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, we're different, you know?
I mean, I think it is a different way of seeing, you know, no other animal, to my knowledge, has, like, ethics. So, of course, any ethical constructs that we come up with is going to be human-centric.
Right.
By the logic that I just used. So it's kind of circular to, like, think about the kill or be killed versus all life is sacred question in the context of how we were also talking about human elitism, because all of this is within the context of, like, human ethical constraints.
Right.
So, but having said that, I think I mostly agree with Tobias.
Okay.
You know?
That's fair.
What about you?
I guess so, yeah. I'm probably solidly in the kill or be killed camp. I was, like, morally perturbed by the fact that they lied to Visser 3 and told
him. No, right. I was thinking that too.
I was like, I don't know if this is right or not, but that struck me at, like, a just instinctual level as morally wrong, which is ironic given that we've been sort of waxing on about these moral questions.
I know. I was thinking that too. The only way I could feel okay about it was I was like, maybe X did it.
No, but they're all cool with it, and
yeah, but they all, like, laughed about it after. Yeah,
it makes me feel better to know that, you know, neither tomato juice nor grape juice,
right,
are, like,
right, but that doesn't change the intentions.
That effective? No,
they still totally deliberately cold bloodedly lied. Yeah, Kant would be.
Yeah, but from a utilitarian, we don't have to get into it.
Yeah, no, I also had that thought. I mostly thought it was hilarious, but. But yeah, I was thinking, like, since when do we, like, actively lie to Visser? And it's not even, like, lying in the same way that they try to imply that they're Andalites.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's played for laughs.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, Jake would say, you know, this is a war, and if we...
If we can make their spaceships, it does sound hard to get smells out of spaceships.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's silly, but
should well regulate the air in spaceships, so actually I don't know how.
Yeah, they actually probably have really great ventilation, but...
Like, yeah, never mind.
But I was going to say, you know, if we can knock them down a few pegs just by having them have this stench around for, like, a few weeks longer, like, why would we not do that? Like, that
why
could,
not release that could be the maple and ginger between, oatmeal?
Right. That could be the difference between, like...
I said we were going to name names.
But, you know, like, maybe one less person becomes a controller because they're too busy, like, trying to get the stench out to, you know, like, so I think from Jake's perspective, it's like, you know, we don't have time to feel sad that we told a lie to them. Like, they're the worst. And we have to just believe that they're the worst, because otherwise we're going to start questioning everything we do.
And no one wants to be a Cassie.
But I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love Cassie. And I
We know.
So I usually defer to her in terms of what's morally right.
That's pretty deep.
Anyway, did you want to name more names?
I was definitely thinking of the maple and ginger oatmeal.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking of the starfish one.
That crossed my mind, too.
That's also like my Atlantis, classic silly one.
Atlantis was a little bit weird. Mm.
Yeah, the like mid-series books.
They do sort of get weird.
Anyway, we will have plenty of time to talk about all of those books in future episodes. Did you have more that you wanted to say in this episode?
No, I think we covered.
All right.
I guess we already did the spiel, so we can do abbreviated.
Yeah, so thanks for sticking with us through the spoiler zone. And that just about wraps up Animorphs number 9, The Secret. You can contact us at sulpniarpool@gmail.com. That's sulpniarpool@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, sulpniarpool.com. We have a Facebook page. You can tweet at us. You can find our Tumblr and Reddit information. All of this is on the website. And we maintain a Spotify playlist with all the songs that we've mentioned on the show so far, which you can find on our website as well. So with that, so long, and try not to anger any skunks.
Okay.
That's all I got. That's all I can do. All right. Bye, everybody.
Those are sort of like semantic traps that we lay out. But I think the fact that those exist sort of highlight that language is just like a convenient convention we've adopted for expressing ideas.
You know what that just made me think of?
What?
A convenient convention.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most conventions are inconvenient conventions.
Not this one. This one is right around the corner.
That one.
Yeah. They provide you with free parking.